Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, as Tara Reid answers from Novak 24, you never age, do you? Still just as gorgeous as in the first American Pie. What's your secret? Her answer? Sex. I've been saving that one for you. That was back on March 2nd. Also retweeted a photo of her nude from some, like, nude celebrity account.
Okay.
Yeah, so... And she just wrapped up Sharknado 2 with Kelly Osbourne, who she says is a great actress. A lot of things going.
I guess I was 18 when that movie came out, when American Pie 1 came out. I pretty much thought every female in that movie was unfathomably attractive.
Yeah, just... even the weird, like, experienced one that, like, never really was around. She was just, like, the sex whisperer for these teenage people.
Right.
Yeah. Looking back, though... it was kind of just Shannon Elizabeth and in the field.
It's, yeah. Well, it's also weird, too, because I was watching Orange is the New Black, and I was like, where do I know that girl from? Oh, my God! It's the American Pie girl!
Oh, I still haven't started that yet. I'm almost at the end of season two of Lost. And,
So you won't be getting into anything else for another eternity.
Right, for quite a while. I do want to say...
not only do you have to get through the show, but you have to get through the unbelievable frustration that comes with watching the show.
I will say, like, I'm enjoying it so far. It's solid. I'm not crazy about everything that's going on. I do like the character development. But I don't feel, at least... all right, maybe we'll see how I feel after the second season. But I don't feel emotionally invested in it. Like, I'm kind of just getting through it, so I don't know that I'll be totally frustrated, but I also know, like, a lot of people hate the direction it went. So, you never know.
Yeah, the debates of who people like and dislike in that show, it also changes, because I went from, like, being very pro-Jack to wanting Jack to die in a fire.
Oh,
to,
I hate Jack.
To being okay with Jack, and then kind of went back again. I go through, like, I have a complicated relationship with Jack Shepard.
Yeah, I hate him. I keep waiting for him to, like, step on a landmine. I know there are no landmines in the show, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Speaking of other shows that I don't watch because they're not on CBS, you should watch Hannibal if you get a chance.
I saw you tweeting pictures last night. Might put that one on the back burner.
No, you got it. It's so good. I hear, theoretically. It's a really... it's the best non-CBS show out there. It's fantastic.
Okay. You know what else is looking good? Today's news and notes segment, sponsored by Squarespace.com.
Kaboom!
Hello. We got some news and note. I would say that Phil Jackson is probably the most news and notey thing we have.
It's been, the reactions have been kind of interesting. I think I tend to want to wait to see what he actually does, because I don't know. Maybe it's just because my dad's not as old as Jackson. But he's older, and I just know that my dad says he wants to do a lot of stuff, and then he doesn't do it. Like,
how old is Phil Jackson?
He's 68.
Okay, my dad turns 70 next month. My dad falls asleep constantly, in the middle of conversations.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I just want to wait to see whether he actually does do it, because again, yeah. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to take the Buick out today and go get her washed. And then you come back 6 months later, and the Buick has not left the garage. So,
right. I mean, I'm going to guess that Phil Jackson is a more driven and accomplished person than myself. But it took me about 2 months to get my car washed this year. Like, all the snow grime and stuff just piling up on it looked disgusting. It was so dirty that when I got it washed, it looked like it didn't look like my car. I actually thought that I had just walked next to a car that wasn't mine. But you know, Phil Jackson's twice as old as I am, and is going to run a franchise.
And the question of, like, well, I'm sure he's more motivated. Is he, though? Because...
at this point, yeah, he might not be.
Like, you know, I don't blame him. The guy came from nothing, got drafted by the Knicks, was an NBA star for a championship team, disappeared into the CBA, was coaching in Nowheresville, gets pulled out, winds up coaching the greatest player of all time, wins six titles there, goes to LA, wins another five. He's engaged to Jeannie Buss, who is successful and beautiful. I don't know what he's got left to do.
Fix the Knicks.
Like, he's done ecstasy. I'm sure, theoretically.
Oh, he's probably doing it right now.
Right. That could be interesting, though. If this guy gets loaded up on some sort of high-performance psychedelic during free agency, that's what I want to see.
Oh, my God. The Chuck Hayes max deal is going to be amazing.
He shows up for Nick Young's introductory press conference and says, "We just felt that adding a three-horned unicorn to our team with wings of golden light was really going to make us better."
Nick Young will just be looking in like a handheld mirror, just like, "Yeah, you're right."
And that's how he got Tony Kukoc to be good.
I do think the idea – I am very intrigued by the idea, because he's clearly – like, he's clearly someone that knows basketball talent, and – now, that's not enough. I do wonder how he would be in contract negotiations, because he doesn't seem like the most, the most easy guy to argue with, even though, because he tries to hit you with all that Zen stuff. I don't know if that works in contract negotiations, but I do think, like, his entire success was built off managing personalities that needed to fit, right? And yeah. You kind of do that as a, you know, VP, president, general manager, whatever you want to call the position that will be running the personnel of the Knicks. If he can find a way to manage James Dolan, he's good with an eye for talent. Like, I don't know, he could be decent.
I mean, building a culture is definitely something I would like to subscribe to him with. Like, that's
he can do that, right?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. A lot of my stuff, and I kind of noted this over the weekend in a post, was I'm a little confused because there's a lot of different reports. Ken Berger, CBSSports.com, reported that basically he's looking for a glorified consultant role. He's not looking to do he doesn't want to do the day-to-day stuff.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be Phil Jackson hands out a fine. I don't think he wants to speak with the media. I think he doesn't want to do the day-to-day stuff. I think even he doesn't want to do stuff like negotiating contracts. He wants to be like, we're going to go get that guy. And then Steve Mills has to go and get the deal done. And my question is, and he can still have a huge amount of influence in it, but to me, I'm wondering how much, because he has to get paid an enormous amount because of the respect that he garners. Like, are they going to pay him $1 million to basically come in and dish out like Zen koans and and basically like make deep mystical sayings like winning is about time and things like that? Like, how much are you getting for your dollar value here? I think here's the thing. I can't really criticize them for doing it because look at their organization's a mess. It has been a mess.
Right.
It's a step up for them to add him. I just don't know. I don't know what kind of effect he has, but I also could see a situation in which he comes in and does his thing and it just works. It just helps. Like, him being around just does something to them.
I will be interested to see how casual Friday around the offices becomes Poncho Friday. That'll be interesting. I really think that maybe Moccasin Tuesday. Or Moccasin Monday, I'm sorry.
Kenyon Martin's going to love that.
Kenyon Martin's going to love it. The big thing is, like, all right, there's how much control does he actually want, which you just talked about, and two, like, how much power will he be given, you know? Like, because I think that's the thing. There has to be, for him to take the job, he has to feel a certain amount of trust that he isn't just going to be, you know, a glorified name within the organization if he wants more than that. And in terms of, like, you know, whatever they pay him, they're making so much money that they can just throw it at terrible players. They're making so much money they can pay Andre Bargnani plus the luxury tax just because. Like, that, like, the money's not going to be an issue. It's going to be that culture that you're talking about of you know, assigning and fostering and cultivating a culture with this organization that they haven't had since Riley? They had a culture with Isaiah Thomas. When's the last time they had a non-dysfunctional culture? A culture that didn't involve sex trucks.
Riley.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Like, and that was 20 years ago? When did Riley leave? Like, 95, 96, somewhere around there?
I'm not sure. I should know this as an Alonzo Mourning file, but I don't know.
I feel like it was around like 96 is when he went to Miami.
I was listening to a lot of like Silverchair at that point. So.
Sure. I was listening to a lot of Coolio. So I was like
95. You know,
95. Okay.
That was the year of the fax.
Right. So yeah, I mean, that's a long time not to have a functional culture. And you think about it, like, I was on the radio with somebody. I don't know. I was on CBS Radio this weekend, and they were talking about, you know, can he be the Knicks Pat Riley in terms of, like, that's the guy you bring in to go try to sign LeBron James or the top free agents. Like, obviously not this year, but in the future when there are top free agents and they have cap space, if they have cap space, you know, is he the guy that can assume that Pat Riley role? I kind of think he can be, just in the fact that you lay out 11 rings on the table just from coaching. That's something that will grab guys' attention. Now, it may not, you know, they're not just going to be like, ooh, shiny object. Well, okay, guys that aren't JaVale McGee aren't just going to be like, ooh, shiny object. But you will have some guys that moves them, right?
Well, I think, you know, Kevin Love in 2015, that's going to resonate with him.
Exactly. Tall, white power forward, kind of a loose mouth. That'll happen.
I think that's probably been a lot. And he's actually kind of mentioned this in some of the interviews, that this has been a huge part of why he's pursued this kind of angle. I think he looks at what Jerry West has done and what Pat Riley has done, and he's jealous. He's like, they don't have to work a lot, and they get a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Like, they get to have a lot of fun building a team, which is what he likes doing, and they don't have to work a lot. This is great. Like, why wouldn't I go do this? So, I mean, I think it's also, you know, it's a sign of – it also shows kind of – the evolution as you get older, because in your 20s you just want to get an opportunity, and in your 30s you want to work hard, but you want to evolve to a place where you don't have to work as hard, and then you get older and you just want to enjoy the perks of everything you built, and this is an opportunity for him to perk. I actually wanted him to be like coach/GM in 2011 after D'Antoni got fired. Is that year?
That sounds right
after, or maybe it was 12, whenever it was, because I just love the idea of him going back to New York. I think there's a circle of basketball life that goes on there.
Right. Exactly.
The favorite son, even though he wasn't the favorite son at the time, he was just kind of some guy who was on the team, but he comes back and finishes the job there. I think that would be great for him. I do wonder also, like, he doesn't want to deal with cold weather. And again, this is like, oh, like my dad doesn't want to deal. My dad lives in, like, before it was, I'm not living in Colorado, it's too cold. And now he's in Arkansas and he still thinks it's too cold. Like, I'm going to have to move him to the equator soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is Phil really going to be like, it's the trade deadline in February, better head out to New York? I don't know about that.
Yeah, so, that doesn't sound like something older people want to do.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that he'll be able to diffuse confrontations in the locker room and diffuse problems. He'll be good at resolving fights.
Speaking of fights... Martian Gordat.
Once, I tried to lead you smoothly into that one.
Yeah, my dog
was like, you were running at the floor going to the wing.
Yeah, my dog was actually biting my finger as you were saying that, so that's actually kind of fits in. He wants to play, and he's been chewing on my hand while you were talking. Martian Gortat wants you to put up your dukes.
What do you think about this idea?
Okay, so he did a Q&A with Kyle Wiedei from Truth About It on True Hoop. And he, you know, Kyle asked him about changes he wanted to see implemented, and he mentioned one of them was he thinks players should be able to fight, like nothing serious for a 6'11", 250 pound Polish guy. He thinks like 15 to 20 seconds, two guys throwing punches to resolve their issues. That's what I liked about it. It was like not like, oh, I want to beat somebody up. It was literally to like resolve issues. And then the refs step in, which I'm sure, you know, not a single ref would take an accidental punch. And refs step in, and it's kind of like hockey, and then you go about your business. I think that it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, that's not good.
I think if there were boards all around the court like there are around the ice in hockey, then the fans are protected. We've seen fights on the court spill into the stands. It rarely ends well.
Jose Barea would be dead.
Barea would not be. Someone would just throw him. They would pick him up and throw him into the upper deck.
Be like a lawn dart.
Right.
Stick out like in Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. I mean, I get what he's saying. I think
go talk to Rudy. I just don't want to tell him. Just go talk to Rudy Tomjanovich, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
go sit down, have a conversation with Rudy T, and or don't just read the book. Just read the book where it
describes him going
into the doctor's office after the punch.
Yeah, don't even read the entire book. Just read accounts of what the sound was like when he got punched. Like, and, that's a horrifying thing.
Yeah, and then like Rudy goes into the doctor's office and he's like, "Okay, I'm pissed. I want to get out of here. I'm mad because I didn't believe the game. Can we go?" And the doctor's like, "We have to have surgery right now."
Right.
Why? Because otherwise you're going to die. Like, Rudy T could have died that day. If they hadn't taken him to the hospital, they'd been like, "Are you all right? Okay, get on out there, champ." He'd be dead. Like, he'd be dead now.
Yeah.
The other thing, I think, the stands with the fans, that's a great point. You can't do that. I'm also, you know, there's a theory. I think a lot of people like the idea in concept because of the whole, like, I want to see, you know, I miss the days of toughness and when guys went at it, yada, yada, yada. Hockey, because of the padding, it's a lot different kind of environment. The fights are just, they manifest themselves differently because of the amount of equipment that they're wearing. I really honestly think that if you see these guys fighting in reality, it's going to be a lot more, it's going to be grosser than, and you're, it's going to be unsettling.
Yeah. People on the internet have talked about this before, but like in a different reality where Shaq connects on that punch to the back of Brad Miller's head.
Yep.
That is, it wouldn't have ended the NBA, but it would have decimated like the impact it has on people. Like it would have severely damaged the sport. They would have been able to get out of it and be fine someday, but like we probably would still be recovering from that. Like you just can't have these guys swinging at each other. Like now clearly what Gortat's talking about would not be a guy swinging at the back of someone's head, but you also never know what's going to happen.
And if you want to go from a more positive non-safety side, if you want to completely throw out player safety, I like the kind of constrained dynamics. I love the part where guys have to walk their teammates off. I love that growing frustration where every foul gets harder and harder, but you can't swing.
Yeah.
I love the face-offs and the little, you know, and even as much as it's like, it makes everybody seem like a big tough guy, I actually think that the question of who's actually a tough guy in the league is really fascinating.
Oh,
because
most
of the guys that start trouble know that they're not going to be involved in a fight.
Yep.
And a lot of the guys that don't start anything are like, this is basketball. Why am I going to fight you? Versus if they were actually involved in a conflict, would kill someone.
I'm paraphrasing here and taking a little bit of liberty with what he said, but there were ways to read between the lines. When Greg Steams was here in Minnesota last season, he got into, I mean, Matt Barnes went after him, Jarrett Jack went after him. Guys would just take swings at him, and then recently O.J. Mayo went after him. And we've asked, like, you know, how do you stop yourself from, like, retaliating or getting into that fight? And he simply said, the check that they take, you know, the money they take from you. Like, that's one of the tougher things in my mind when talking to these guys. Like, Greg Steemsma would fight anybody if it wasn't going to cost him money. And like I think we would see that, and we would see like the tougher guys and who's actually, you know, who hates this idea is Matt Barnes. Matt Barnes does not want an NBA where you have to square off against each other.
Yeah, that would not work out well for him.
No, he likes what you're talking about. He likes the guys walking you away from the confrontation.
Yeah, I think so. Appreciate the sentiment, Martin. I understand that you want to be tough, but maybe just go do MMA or something.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, go do some kickboxing training in the off season.
It is an interesting question of you know, apparently Martin thinks he's a badass. Like, this is kind of an interesting question. I do think it would be interesting if they implemented it from one dynamic. It's not worth it, but it'd be interesting just because how does it change then if one guy wins the fight? Because there is that, like, there's an alpha dog, there's like a dog pack mentality when you get your ass kicked. Like, you're kind of like, okay.
Right.
I just got my ass kicked. I probably need to not mouth off anymore. Well, and you also don't want to get beaten up again.
And is there – I mean, there's a penalty box in hockey, right? Do you have to be subbed out for the next 5 minutes? Like, what would that be in the NBA? Because there would have to be a penalty for it. You can't just have guys swinging at each other and then, all right, 20 seconds are up. You guys go back to playing. Like, that's not – that wouldn't work.
Man, Matt Barnes would love that though.
I would finish this.
Like, I would move for 20 seconds and then go sit in the box, and he'd only have to play like 5 minutes a game.
He'd be like, I would finish this right now, but I am legally obligated to go sit down right now. So
I'll sit in the safe box.
Yeah. So I will see you next game. By the way, guys, does this box have a deadbolt?
Berea would be interesting too. I honestly think Berea would start a fight with one of the bigger guys too.
I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but I've talked about this with Britt Robson a lot at games of how JJ Berea is the ultimate street ball hustler in the NBA. Like, we've talked about this so much. Like, we imagine that he probably destroyed people. Like, just destroyed pickup courts in college. Like, small college, Northeastern, no one really knew who he was. 5'9", Puerto Rican guy with stubby arms, walking onto a pickup court.
Hey, can I play, guys?
Yeah. Nobody is going to take him seriously. And think about how good he is. Like, all right, you may hate, like, I don't, you don't, but there are plenty of Wolves fans that hate his NBA game. Imagine him on a pickup court. He probably destroyed, like, is the ultimate hustler on a pickup court.
Guys laughing at him when he checks him up and then he does that crossover right step floater move.
Yeah, they would hate that. You know what I hate? I hate trying to build a website and having it be too hard for me.
It's the worst.
It's really the worst. And you know it's tough trying to deal with some of these companies that will claim to have your back and offer you support when they clearly don't. That's not Squarespace.com. They do have your back and they make it easy.
You know, you can easily create your own professional website or portfolio there. And they're constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, and even better support. You can switch out your design when you want to. They're going to have all the social media integration, which is a huge part of today's web. Like, you have to have all those elements in place. You can make it look the way you want to. You can make it – and it's all on template structure, which means that, you know, you're going to be able to get something that really fits what you want it to look like, which I think is great. They've got beautiful designs for you to start with, and they've got all these style options for you to add, and it's going to create a unique website for your business.
Just a little FYI, this may or may not be true. Back when I had my first website, tried to switch out the template, burned my house down. I wish I'd had 24/7 support like Squarespace offers, because I could have called one of the over 100 Squarespace employees that are in New York. Wouldn't have been a big time zone difference, so I wouldn't be bothering them. They wouldn't be bothering me. I could have called the Care Bear layer and said, "Hey guys, how do I stop this website from burning my house down?"
And said you needed your own Care Bear layer.
I did. I needed it. I had to build a whole new house.
It's just $8 a month, too, which that's really, honestly, crazy to let you know. Like, I redesigned Paroxysm for way more than that. My own website cost me exponentially more than that this year.
And not only is it $8 a month, you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
Well, that's cool.
You sign up for everything for a year. You rent out an apartment for a year. You sign up for gym memberships for a year sometimes. Like, signing up for a year of $8 a month for a free domain name and your own website, that's gold.
Also, if you're going to sign up for a free domain name, use Squarespace.com so it's free to get with it. But don't name it like Bob's Sports Blog and then send me links. Like, I don't mind you sending me links. I really don't. But please try and have a good name. But the good thing is, even if it's Bob's, maybe I won't notice I'm checking it out on mobile, because every design automatically includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website, so your content's going to look great, even if it's got a terrible name.
Yeah, even Bob's Sports Blog, you can still look good. You can start a free trial today, Bob, with no credit card required. Start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports. Enter in the offer code FUN, that's FUN. You're going to get 10% off. You're going to show your support for the Ion Basketball Podcast. We get to thank Squarespace for their support of the Ion Basketball Podcast. And really, it's everything you need to create an exceptional website. God, that Bob and his bland names. You know what his latest article was called? Basketball article. What kind of headline is that?
I also like how they always try and do, like, hey, I did an article on the top free agents of this year. And I'm like, every single site does that. I have to write one for CBSSports.com, but it's kind of a different deal.
I would say, I would offer up, write about the 10 worst free agents. Really hit that whack fantasy league market that's growing so much.
The basketball was pretty good yesterday.
I enjoyed it.
I watched it. I mean, it was long. Working Sundays has gotten to be a chore because now it's...
Oh, those midday games.
Well, God, it's I feel like they changed it because I feel like it used to be like you have the afternoon games and then you have a two-hour dinner break and then they start the night games. But they've moved the night game starts back, some of them, but not all of them. So now what happens, especially moving to Mountain Time, which is not good, by the way. Everything – Mountain Time and Pacific Time are the worst. It's awful. Like my day started at 11 with games and went all the way until the end of Suns Warriors at 10:30. Like that's a playoff day.
That's a healthy shift.
That's a playoff day of basketball. I mean, yeah. Granted, I did totally bail halfway through. Like, I wasn't – like, I sat down. I was like, all right, I'm going to switch to Pistons-Boston. I watched 5 minutes of that and was like, nope.
It is a little easier when you don't have to do grades because you can be like, I'll just see if Twitter blows up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But then the problem is if I'm not really engaged in it, I drift further and further away because it starts with, oh, I'll have it on, but I won't pay attention. And then it goes to, oh, maybe I'll put on something else. And then it goes to – oh, maybe I'll play Call of Duty. And it goes to, oh, maybe I'll put myself into a coma. And then I'm always terrified something will happen. And I'm just like,
you know,
I'm also irritated when plays happen. I can't rip them.
Yeah, you know what I found out is that when I play the My Player in 2K, I'm kind of a dick when I tweet myself. It's like, oh, he's stirring up stuff in the locker room because he's arguing with Evan Turner. It's like, no, I'm not. He was arguing with me. So there I go making up rumors about my own player.
This is a sort of deep existential crisis you're going through right now.
It is. I can't wait until I can write my own tweets. That's going
to
be...
That's also going to be amazing, though, because you realize the next step is they're actually going to evolve to... They'll have articles written by us. They'll have auto-created things, and they'll actually create... They'll create algorithms based on what we do, so mine will all be mid-90s rock references.
Mine's just gonna be Nick Cage references, and then they're gonna create our podcast on there, and they'll just make it up, and it'll just be, you know, 8 minutes of Tara Reid, 25 minutes about magicians or something, and then like 4 minutes of basketball.
A digital version of Ethan's gonna be something to behold.
Oh my God,
that's the singularity right there.
By the way, I would never promote something on another network, but there will be a documentary. I think there have been 30 of them or more for 30 years or more of sports. There is one on the Bad Boys, and don't need to watch that, but watch Twitter when that Bad Boys documentary is on, because Ethan is going to piss people off with his takes on Isaiah Thomas as a player.
Oh man,
it's bad. That's going to be fun.
Not a fan?
He's just not as big as a fan as maybe everybody else is.
Maybe everyone on the planet. It's like the list of fans, and at the end it's like Michael Jordan and then Ethan.
Right. I think Ethan is more likely to freeze out Isaiah Thomas than Jordan is.
Were you surprised the Bulls win? I wasn't.
No, they if they face it in the first round, the Bulls are going to – or in, not the first round. If they face each other in the second round, the Bulls will win game one. That's a lock. I would put anything on that. Like, they will win game one, and then the series will be over in five games. Like, that's just what happens with the Bulls and Heat in the playoffs.
And I wrote this article on Sunday talking about basically that they don't – you and I have talked about this before, but they're not having the extra gear. And – like, it's bad timing always because, like, that's what leads on our NBA page, and then the Bulls go out and beat the Heat, and it looks like, oh, ha-ha, showed you. But I'm like, no, this is what I'm saying. Like, this is where they're awesome. Like,
right.
They're fantastic. But, you know, I'm trying to – there are a lot more good players on the Bulls than I think of them conceptually, because when I think about them individually, I'm always like, oh, Jimmy Butler's really good. Joakim Noah is awesome. Like, you know, I like Tony Snell a lot. He's really shown some stuff in his rookie season. Taj Gibson, I just put him down for Sixth Man of the Year in our midseason or our third quarter report that's going up tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, Boozer, I still think, is a plus for your team. He's just overpaid, but he's a plus for your team overall. And I like a lot of their guys. Do you want to talk about DJ Augustin yet, or do you want to wait?
Oh, we could absolutely talk about him.
Still no?
Well, I think that we need to celebrate the good play. And still, I would still recognize that he shoots 41% from the field.
Does he really? God.
he can't shoot. Like, all right, he's shooting well from three this year, and it's a lot. It's not like it's Amir Johnson. Like, it's a lot of threes. Like, he's taken over 200 threes with the Bulls. Like, he's shooting the three well this year, but he's shooting 41% from the field. Like, he's a fine fourth or fifth guard on a team. He's gonna put up numbers kind of the same way. I mean, the numbers with him and Nate Robinson from last year are very similar. But I know I'm crazy about this in the first place, but I'd much rather see Jimmer in this role than DJ Augustine.
Yeah.
No, DJ's playing great. Go ahead and hope your team signs him next year. I don't. I don't want him anywhere near the Wolves. But hey, if you want him, go ahead.
I haven't checked in with you in a while. Where are you at with the Wolves?
I mean, they're done.
Yeah. What game was when you were like, they're done?
Knicks. Knicks broke me.
That was it?
That was it. Just a stellar road trip. They had won six of their last seven. They had done much of that without Peck and without Martin. They were really on a good roll. They had an easy schedule ahead of them and then lost three out of four quarters to the Knicks. A really Knicks team. Now, the Knicks have picked it up starting with that game, but still, you can't lose that game at home. It's inexcusable. And so now I want them to finish out the year strong. I want them to be a 500 team. But in the process, I don't want them to be the last team out of the playoffs because then they lose their pick. So 13th pick and a 500 record, I'm very happy with that season. I'm not as happy as I would have been with the playoffs, but it's the best non-KG season they've ever had. Mm. Actually, the next win they have is the best non-KG season they've ever had. Which is, that'll tell you about the franchise.
Yeah, they, it was interesting. That Raptors game was really compelling from a lot of angles.
It was a great game. I thought it was really good. Like, Kyle Lowry was incredible. DeMar DeRozan hit huge shots, screamed at the bench a word I can't say on this podcast.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of an early 90s game, a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
Just like with the intensity and the kind of players that were on the court, like it had a real 90s feel to it.
Yeah, Rubio was busting his ass. Kyle Lowry was busting his ass. Like, it was a fun game.
I just wrote in DeRozan for most improved, and the reason was the clincher for me was the shot that he hit that the bench scream shot.
Yeah,
and the reason was I know his percentages, and I do. I think that definitely plays a part in how we analyze him and whether or not he could be a franchise. Yada yada yada. But The reason that I actually took him for most improved was when he took that shot, a corner three, or maybe he's long two, but it was a corner shot, guy all up on him, fading away, rising up, shot, like clock going down. I said to myself, I was like, he's going to hit this. And he nailed it. And I was like, yep, that's where DeMar is. Like, he's...
Yeah, I think he had hit one in the left, well, I guess his right corner. It's the left to me from my angle in that game. But he hit one from the right corner, I think a minute or two earlier, that I thought was the dagger, and that one was just like he just stabbing the body, like just this rage of stabbing the body where his friends have to pull him off the body. But that was a lot of daggers with that one. But I was the same way. Like, as soon as he rose up, I saw that you could tell Brewer wasn't going to close out on it, or wasn't going to close out on it enough to bother the shot, and you knew he was going to hit that shot. And yeah, I don't mind him for most improved. I'm still doing my awards for tomorrow, but. Maybe I have to look into that a little closer.
I've been lukewarm on them all year and wanted them to blow it up, but now that we're past a deadline, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of excited about them in the playoffs now.
Yeah,
like,
they're going to be a pain in the ass. It's going to be fun. They're fun to watch. Like, when Tyler Hansbrough isn't in there, they're really fun to watch.
This year overall, not just because of the injuries, because of the play, because of a lot of different things, this year's just kind of sucked. It's just been kind of a sucky season.
Yeah, it hasn't been that still compelling.
Yeah, it's been... I mean, it's NBA, so it's still fun. I still like it. It's just, comparatively speaking, it's kind of sucked. But the last 3 weeks or so, I've kind of been like, man, like, these playoffs are going to actually be really fun. Like, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on. Like, the East is becoming a lot more interesting to me than it will be to a lot of people, because everyone's just going to be like, well, they're all terrible. And I'm like, yeah, but you got a lot of teams hitting – they're all on the right – at the right time. They're all hitting on the right cylinder. Like, the Wizards are 8-2 in their last 10.
Yeah, I like this Wizards team. I think the East, there's nothing compelling about the East outside of Heat Pacers, just in terms of like it truly mattering. But I think we're going to see a really good first round.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a really, really good first round.
I am worried about one thing, and I mentioned this in power rankings. Like, you know, I'm big on the Charlotte team. That's pretty evident. I think very highly of them for being a 29-34 team.
I would say if you had to choose between Charlotte being a playoff team and not existing, you'd lean towards a playoff team.
Yeah. They're scheduled right now to face Miami, and they are three games back of the six. They have to get to the six. LeBron will score. He'll average 35.
Unless this 61-point game that he put up actually cursed him.
Yes.
Because he has not been good since.
Yeah, that one, it's been interesting because everyone's like, oh, this is really confusing. And I'm like, really? The guy with the broken nose started taking a lot of jumpers and they hit one game and then didn't hit a lot? This is confusing to you?
Weird. It's almost like there's something in the way of his face as he's playing that might be bothering him, and maybe he can't breathe properly, or maybe he's just in a slump.
Yeah. So, I mean, I credited Jimmy Butler with defense yesterday.
Yeah, because the Bulls really did defend him well.
Yeah, they played him well, but I'm also like, if my options, if I'm playing the Chicago Bulls, who I have a history of them hitting me in the face and head, and I have a broken nose, nope. Gotta take this mid-range jumper, thanks.
Who do you think wants the eighth seed less, the Hawks or the Pistons? I feel so bad for the Hawks.
The Hawks, I don't think it's a matter of not wanting it. I think the Hawks just want it.
They don't have anybody.
They're healthy. Just injured. Yeah. They're just, everyone's too hurt. They got hurt, and then the Hawks are one of the worst teams, at least, and I don't know if it's like the lingering, they've had a lot of changeover, but still there's a few guys there. They do not handle these West Coast road trips well.
Not at all.
They have a really hard time with them. So, yeah, it's funny, though, because, like, they keep losing, but nobody can catch – like, New York is the most likely team to catch them at this point. Like, Detroit's technically above them, but Detroit's
I saw that Detroit team – what was it? Friday night? And in my recap, like, the Wolves blew them out. The bench screwed the pooch in the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, so it ended up being a lot closer, but they still won by double digits. Effectively the Wolves blew them out, and my recap on A Wolf Among Wolves was just, look, this season has not gone the way we wanted, but we're not the Pistons. And yep. I can't imagine being a Pistons fan and having to watch Josh Smith and Brandon Jennings every night and trying to watch like whatever direction that organization thinks it's going. And I mean, they don't even play Kentavious Caldwell-Pope all that much. Like, there are four guys on the team that I think aren't broken. Like, I think Greg Monroe is broken. I think they've broken his spirit. And I think the next team that gets him, if he goes to a next team, is going to get a fantastic player that will be revived and just ready to show like that the first 4 years of his career weren't wasted. Or were wasted and shouldn't have been wasted. But like, other than Drummond, Will Bynum, Pope, and Singler, like, I just watched that team and was like, none of you guys want to play team basketball. It was watching a bunch of individuals out there.
They need a complete wash. I'm not sure they can do it. I don't even know what they do. I really don't.
Yeah, because you're locked in for 3 years with Jennings and Smith, and do you get anybody to take those contracts in the next 2 years?
I always say that anybody's tradable, but God, you'd have to find somebody absolutely desperate. Absolutely desperate.
Hoop idea. Amari for Jennings and Smith.
I love it. Make it happen.
If you're the Knicks, you're kind of in a what the hell situation, right? I mean, I know they're supposed to have cap space in 2015 and all that crap, but they're not going to do that. They're the Knicks. Like, you go get two players with sort of big names, and the Pistons pay Amari and get some cap space, and then fire Joe Dumars and get somebody in there who actually cares about building a proper team. Knicks fans are going crazy about this right now, probably hoping that my next website burns down my house. But you're kind of in what the hell mode anyway.
And then you get the lineup of Jennings, Felton.
Oh no,
Mello.
Oh, we're going dumb. Well, I guess you're not technically going small in the backcourt because Felton's a big fella.
Jennings, Felton, Mello, Smith, and Tyson.
Well, you've got Bargnani still on the roster through next year.
And Bargnani, I vote yes.
Let's take Tyson out of there and let's put Bargnani in the picture.
I vote yes.
You know, I was watching. It took me 4 different sittings to get through Grown Ups 2, which is just an abomination.
Okay, hold on. So after the third one, what made you?
I'll edit myself, but I got to a point where I thought I'm gonna finish this movie if it kills me. I was so angry at myself that I had started it that I was gonna beat the movie and I was gonna finish it no matter how horrible it was. It's atrocious.
Sometimes I worry for your soul because I'm worried that if things go badly, like if you make some sort of terrible mistake and wind up in hell, you're gonna get into a competitive fight with other people to flagellate yourself. Like I'm.
I can see that happening. But yeah, it took 4 sittings. But my point of mentioning that is, as I was watching Kevin James attempt to do physical comedy, and he used to be fantastic on King of Queens, but his movie career is not so hot when he's with Adam Sandler. And I was watching, I was like, I feel like if you're a huge Kevin James fan, this is what it's like to watch Raymond Felton in 2014.
Yeah.
I feel like they're the exact same entity in their respective business.
That's a really interesting comparison, actually. Provocative, I would say.
Yeah.
How are you worried about Indiana, or is it just are you in their slumping with they'll get out of it?
I am a little worried about their bench scoring.
Yeah.
Because it really hasn't been good, and that was supposed to be fixed. But I mean, in terms of like, are they going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and are they going to put up a great fight against Miami, and can they beat Miami? Yeah, I still feel like they can do that. But I don't feel like they're as nearly as invincible as we thought they were. And it's not really this streak necessarily. This streak does kind of magnify it, but their bench just has not been that good.
Are you surprised at the vitriol on the internet for the Pacers?
At this point, no, because I have such low expectations for how the internet thinks.
It's just weird to me that because I'm like, they're not national television. They have, like, their stars are notable, but they're not huge names. And yet I get more comments about the Pistons being like, yeah, not so good now. Or, yeah, I get so many. Yeah, Roy Hibbert's not good. Look at him, 2 rebounds. I'm like, he had a bad game. He's not like, an awesome rebounder. I don't say he's an awesome rebounder. What do you want?
Yeah, bad games happen. And how much of that is you have two very – all right, you have one very vocal fan base in the Knicks who clearly have something against the Pacers because the Pacers kind of just destroy them now, right?
Yeah.
And they ended their dream season last year, and it was
the Pacers are what the Knicks were supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, you know, that could be some vitriol there. And then Heat fans, that is a rowdy online bunch.
They've gotten a lot louder in the last couple of years. It's almost like they
it's almost like they've got back-to-back championships to celebrate.
So there's this wagon with a band on the back of it. It leads them along.
But and then so like that's the rival, and so you have two pretty raucous, or not? I don't know if the Knicks are a raucous online group, but they're vocal.
Yeah,
and so vocal's a good word for it. Yeah, I think that's probably the case, right? Like that's why. Or it's possible people just hate the underdog. I mean, they're not that they're the underdog. People may just hate small markets. Yeah, I don't really know. It is kind of weird.
Programming note, by the way.
Yes.
For those of you that have Showtime, you're going to want to tune in on Wednesday night. Dirk Nowitzki sings an a cappella version of Wonderwall.
Oh, on just on Showtime? Just
on
be
Jim
a...
Rome.
Oh, on Jim Rome. Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have I'm going to have the YouTube clip up pretty soon.
So excellent.
Check that out. You want to do games?
Yeah, let's do games.
Bobcats, favored by 6 versus the Denver Nuggets, who I still don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get them at all. I had, for power tankings last week, I had my eye on them, hadn't like included them, and then I went to, I was like, all right, so clearly I have to put them in, and then I was like, no, I still don't know what this team's doing. Like, I have no idea. I'll take the Bobcats minus 5. 5's kind of a lot. All right, I'll take the Bobcats minus 5.
The Heat are favored by 6.5 versus Washington tonight. Heat are on a back-to-back.
Who do you have? Do you have Charlotte or Denver?
Oh, I'm taking Charlotte because Denver, their defensive adjustments are good, but I don't trust them to win a game in which they can't score a lot.
Right. Okay, so, all right, we have Miami, Washington. What's the line?
Miami is favored by 6.5. Oh, I do want to know in Denver, J.J. Hickson's played really good basketball on both ends of the floor for about the last 2 weeks. I've been really hard on him, and he's been really good the last 2 weeks.
Okay, noted. I think I like the Wizards to cover, but they'll lose, but they'll cover.
Yeah, I've got the same thing. I've got like 97-95.
Yeah, I think it's a close game. I like this Wizards team.
I'm not too keen on where the Heat are at. I think that they came out of the All-Star break and were like, yeah, let's go. We're going to make a run. And they did for a while, and they're like, this is so tiring.
Yeah, they're just like, what's the point?
You know, it's like when I start to do cleaning, and I'm like, I'm gonna clean the entire house. And then I do the kitchen, and I'm like, I'm tired. I did the kitchen. What do you want, you know? Brooklyn is favored by 2 at home versus Toronto. Toronto's on the back-to-back. I guess they're both on back-to-back because Brooklyn beat the Kings last night.
Right. But Brooklyn was home, right? They didn't travel at all.
Right. It's a home, back-to-back, looks like.
I'll go Toronto. I like this. Even on the road, back-to-back, I like this Toronto.
Garnett's got back spasms. Pierce has got a shoulder problem. And I think his other Joe Johnson, is one of their other guys, has got another injury issue. I mean, I like buckets and all, but we're putting a whole lot of faith on buckets. Although, man, Andre Kirilenko got healthy.
He did.
That dude, I gave a Nets fan a lot of grief about it on Twitter earlier in the season because they're like, how much of that was just Kirilenko? I was like, he's not making an impact. Like, even if he comes back, he's not going to make that much of an impact. Nope, he made a pretty big impact. Nope,
he's just a good player.
Yeah. You got to say that one probably – I mean, I don't know if they could have. It may have just been AK being like, I'm out. But, God, the Wolves really should have gotten him back. That would have helped a lot.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if you could just – they never would have gotten this to work this way, but if you could just have Kirilenko instead of Brewer,
yeah,
that's a playoff team. Assuming Kirilenko is healthy enough, like plays 60 games, that's a playoff team.
Here's how bad the Sixers are. Let's play guess the line. The Knicks are at home facing the Sixers. Guess the line.
Knicks at home against the Sixers. All right, you're making me guess the line, so which makes me think it's high. I'm going to go 9.5.
15.5.
You are out of your goddamn mind. All right, the Sixers have lost 16 in a row. They have a legitimate chance at losing 27 in a row and setting the record. There's no way they are losing by 16 points to this Knicks team.
I think a lot of it – the Knicks have started high all year with the lines. They just they automatic – and I think a lot of it's just that they anticipate how much action New York's going to get because New York gets more action than most. So they start off really high. They've started off 2 to 3 points higher with a lot of their home games than I expected. And then you have to imagine the second this came out that the public just started hammering New York. So I'm wondering if like they said it – I'm wondering if they were like, well, it's going to be 10. They were like, well – okay, the public's going to hammer it. Let's already move it to 12. And then the public hammered it so much they moved it 15.5.
There's just no way.
I'm taking New York.
No.
Yep, I'm taking New York.
No, you're a liar. You're a
liar. One team wants to win. Surely one team wanting to win and the other one not is enough for 20 points.
You're a liar who lies. There's no way you're taking the minus 15.5.
I did. I took the Knicks.
Oh, my God.
It's on the picks video this morning. You can talk to Miss Erin Cerrone.
I am going to talk to her.
Every morning at 10 a.m.
I am going to talk to her. There's no way. I don't believe you. I'm just going to assume we both took Philadelphia.
She's a Knicks fan, and even she was like, what are you doing?
she's really good, by the way.
Yeah, she's great. I love Erin.
Yeah.
Milwaukee is a point dog at home tonight versus Orlando.
Gotta be Orlando.
I'm a little torn on this one because Orlando played really well for a while and then really just started playing not well again.
Yeah.
I'm taking Milwaukee here mostly based off of they seem to play well whenever one guy is suspended.
They do step up in the face of suspension.
I think they like not having – like, oh, that guy's not here. Oh, this is awesome. Great. One less guy to deal with.
I could see them being happier with OJ Mayo not around.
I'm so sad about OJ. Man, I love that guy's a rookie.
He could have been just so good.
I know. And, like, I accept the reality. It's not like I'm in denial about it. Like, yeah. It just sucks. Utah, this one, I have games tonight. I'm not watching this. Atlanta is on the back end of the road trip. They're in Utah. Utah is still getting a point and a half.
What?
Yeah, Atlanta's favored by a point and a half.
Is Dominique Wilkins activated tonight?
Because he can score 40 on the bench. That's one of those things where I wrote an entire post about it and went off on huge Twitter rants about it, and I look back and go, like, what is wrong with me? Like, why am I upset that people think that the Charlotte Bobcats aren't good at defense? Like, what's wrong with my life?
No, I got pissed off too. It was like, oh, but it's the Bobcats. I mean, it was literally like, oh, it's the Bobcats. I was like, no, they're seventh in the league in defensive rating after that game. And then this guy was like, yeah, but that's because they play against the East. I was like, well, against Western opponents, they're actually sixth. So that's not the case. He's like, yeah, but it's the Bobcats. I was like, all right, you have a...
There's literally no argument.
There's literally nothing I can do for you. Oh, God, what an awful game. Atlanta's on a 6-game losing streak. They're like 1 out of their last 10. Utah is still not good, though. I'm going to go Atlanta, and I have absolutely no idea why.
This is like the scene in Scrubs with Ted where he's rattling off commands between the dog and the lawyer, and he's like, sit, and Ted goes, pass. That's what this is. That's why I always say here is pass. Yeah, Utah is 3-7 in their last 10, and Atlanta is 1-9 in the last 10.
Yeah.
I took Atlanta based off of the possibility of a Paul Millsap revenge game if he plays.
Ooh, oh yeah. Okay.
That's really all I got. So Utah needs to hit in this draft.
Yes.
They need to hit hard.
Big time.
I've got them getting Aaron Gordon, actually.
I think I might have that as well.
I like that idea, although I don't know any way to where I can't create some sort of logjam with the roster.
Right. Well, I just figured I was like, they're going to go through one day of training camp with Aaron Gordon against Enes Kanter and just be like, oh, right. We have a guy who can jump now.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then last game of the night. This is the game of the night, honestly. Phoenix versus the Clippers.
Ooh.
Phoenix on a back-to-back. The Clippers... Guess this one.
Phoenix in LA back-to-back. Clippers did not play yesterday, right?
Right.
8?
10.5.
10.5, that's a lot of points. I'm going to go Vegas Phoenix.
Vegas selling on Phoenix right now.
I'm going to go Phoenix. And Phoenix to cover, but the Clippers to win. 10.5 is a lot of points.
Yeah. I think I've got the Clippers just. I've got Phoenix just covering. I did it blind, and I gave it. I went 115-105 the Clippers. So I've got Phoenix covering by half point.
Yeah, that's yeah. I'd say like an 8 or 9 point win.
Yeah, Phoenix is in the weeds, man. It's
yeah. They're they may not be long for this postseason.
Yeah, in power rankings today, I made the comparison that the Grizzlies are. They're currently in the 8th spot, but the way that they've been, like the way that they've been just waiting for somebody to fall, it's like that guy when you go to like Target and you're circling the parking lot hoping to get a better parking space, and every time you're like, oh, ooh, ooh, and then the guy's just getting like stuff out of his car.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, which I avoid just by parking in the middle of nowhere, but my wife hates that, so. Yeah, so we got mock drafts coming out this week.
We do. I don't know what day. Thursday-ish? Thursday, Friday, depends. Somewhere around there.
It depends on when I can get done.
I'm hoping Friday because I'm scheduled for a draft feature this week. I'd like to just say, I got my mock draft.
Great.
That's what I'd like to do.
Yeah. Do you have any surprises? What'd you do with most of the Euro guys?
That was the tricky thing. I have Dario Saric going 11th to Cleveland.
Okay.
Because I figured... There's no guy there that I feel like they would be crazy high on, but it also depends on who they're... It's hard for them because, like, who's their GM, you know? Is it going to be David Griffin? Are they going to have hired somebody new. So, like, that's kind of hard. So I kind of just slotted him in there because I figured, like, this is a lottery guy. He probably won't fit. He probably won't fall past, like, 11, 12. So I kind of just threw him in there. And then I've got Capella going top 20. I had him going to Phoenix at 18. Where else do I have guys going? I had the Spurs taking the big Nurkic at 27. Yeah. I had him going there. And then I had, like, kind of towards the top of the second round, I had guys getting stashed.
A lot of them I passed on because I don't know about what their status is for coming out.
Yeah, that's the tough thing too.
Like, if I'm unfamiliar with it, and I know you could say the same thing about the college kids, but I feel like there's at least a deeper understanding of who's going to be out and who's going to be in.
Yeah, I
agree. So a lot of them I ignore. Like, Nurkic, I've just been like, let's wait. If I need to put him in there, I will. Like, I've watched some video on him, but if I need to put him in there, I will. Like, the top ones I put in, like, Saric is in there. Exum, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Exum I've got going third to Orlando.
Yeah. Hanzoa, like, Enzoza, whatever it is.
Yeah.
However you pronounce his name, I'll have to learn it later. He's in there. Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Where do you have Saric going?
I would probably not be one of those people that subscribes to his fan club.
From what I've watched, I'm not crazy about him.
I have him at 22. It's too low. My mock drafts are an imperfect thing, and I kind of accept that.
Yeah.
I talk to the few individuals that I know that have insight on this stuff, and I watch a lot of video, and I try and meld it all together, and it's kind of a weird combination. Like, here's a good example is I have Tyler Ennis way higher than you're going to have him because I just think – from the way that I could see our GMs, like, I know he's going to go higher than what I think he's going to go.
You would have been right, but I just had a wild hair last night. I've got him going in the top six.
Whoa!
I don't think he's very good. Like, there are things I like about him. I like that he's fearless in crunch time. I like that he's a good, really good game manager. But outside of that, like, I'm not crazy about his shot. I'm not crazy. Like, he's, what, 6'3", 6'4", so he's got good size. But I'm just not crazy about him as a, like, a starting 10-year NBA point guard, you know? But yeah. I think somebody will be. And I've got him going pretty high.
Wow. I've got him at 10.
I was annoyed with myself for doing that. But I was just kind of like, why not? And also, I was up to 1:30 last night doing this. This mock draft, and I had everybody in place. I was getting ready to write the little blurbs, and then I realized I didn't have the Harrison twins anywhere in the draft. And then I just closed my computer, and I said, I will deal with this in the morning. I was so angry with myself.
We can talk more about it maybe next week, but
yeah.
I've got Tyler going to Detroit.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And my blurb for it is, you know, in case they want a point guard who actually knows how to run an offense. but yeah, I'm with you. I like Levine, even though I've got him 10 spots higher. And I like Nick Stauskas more.
Yeah, I like both those guys more. Like, Levine, I think he'll be a much better player than Ennis, but I've got him going 11 spots lower.
Yeah, I've got Saric at 22 because that's honestly what I think of his game. I just don't.
I agree with you. I just think someone's gonna reach on him.
Yeah,
and that's the weird thing,
like, I'm willing to bend on some guys and be like, well, I may not be crazy about him. I know guys are going to take him. And there's some guys whose games I dislike so much that I'm like, no, like, I don't care what you guys are going
to
do.
I selfishly put Rodney Hood at 13 to the Wolves just because I was like, I just want to have a little bit of fun before the draft starts.
Yeah, I'm pretty close on that one. I'm higher on PJ Harrison than you are, I think, based off of where you had him in your last mock.
Yeah, I've got him. I have him in the second round. I think he's a first-round talent, but I think teams will be scared off.
What's crazy is I started looking at the second round, you know, which even I've tended to be like, well, I think second-round picks have value, especially because you can trade up or you can make some moves or you can clear flexibility. Like, they're good for kind of greasing the wheels on things.
Yeah.
But you can – every now and then you find, like, the needle in the haystack, but it's really difficult. The diamond in the rough is really difficult to find. But then I was looking at the second round, and I'm like I'm looking at the guys, and my top 10 for second round are Andrew Harrison, KJ McDaniels, Bogdanovich, CJ Fair, Mitch McGarry, TJ Warren, James McAdoo, Deontay Burton, and Capella. So
that's a healthy group of guys.
Jeez.
I left Mitch McGarry out.
Whoa.
Completely because of the back injury. I just think he's going to stay another year.
It's possible. I've gotten in there because he doesn't, but it wouldn't surprise me. The Embiid thing is getting to be really concerning.
Yeah. I was surprised that I had Jordan Adams in the second round because I love him. I think he's a first round guy.
Did you move Embiid down because of the back injury at all?
No, I've got him second until I'm just going to assume he's okay until we find out that there's a red flag. I'm going to act like I'm just going to stick my fingers in my ears and go la la la.
Okay. Good pod.
Good pod, and remember, Tara Reid says she's youthful because of sex. Thanks, Matt.